All right. Well, it's great to see all of you as always. Welcome back to Midweek. I'm excited to be doing this lesson tonight with Hannah. And wow, it's week three of this series of practicing the way of Jesus. We really hope that this time has been both the lessons, these times together, and the D groups have been transformative for you. And overall, just been inspiring and encouraging for your faith. Hope you aren't tired of us yet. We got one more lesson here in the series. And tonight we're going to be closing out with part three of this series with talking about doing what Jesus did. Doing what Jesus did. Just to recap a little bit over the past couple weeks, what we've been talking about here. So we've been talking about these three main things, which you guys are probably familiar with by now. So in our first lesson, we talked about the importance of just being with Jesus, right? Being people who are following his spirit, that are people that are aware of his presence in our lives and how God's working, and just people that are doing life with Jesus. And then last week, we talked about becoming like Jesus, right? That not only does he want us to be with him, but he wants to transform us and that we can change to be like him as we're with him, right? Talked a lot about how the Spirit can transform us. It talked about change and metanoia a little bit. And then today we're talking about doing what Jesus did. And it, guys, it really all leads to this. I hope you're excited for this lesson. I know all of you want to do what Jesus did. That's why you're here. And because if we're truly practicing being with Jesus, abiding by his Spirit, if we're truly changing our lifestyle to be like his, repenting and becoming like him, then it should naturally lead us to do the very work he did, his kingdom work on earth. Amen. And so we don't just want to be people who know a lot about Jesus. We want to continue the very kingdom work that he did on earth. And that's what we're going to be digging into today. But just to be clear, just wanted to say this before we dive in anymore to the lesson. This whole idea of practicing the way of Jesus is more than just a sermon series. The ideas and the principles we've been presenting in these sermons on discipleship, they're meant to be really a foundation for us as a ministry and as disciples of Christ, right? We really want this idea of practicing the way of Jesus intentionally to be really in the DNA of our campus region. And for us as a ministry, we want this to be kind of the heartbeat of what we do, right? Why are we meeting together on Sundays and Fridays? And why are we here as a campus region? It's because we want to really live out our discipleship in an authentic way, right? We want to practice being with Jesus, becoming like him, doing what he did. And so as a ministry, we're calling ourselves to this. We're calling our fellow disciples to this. But we're also teaching the lost how to practice the way of Jesus, how to follow him. We're calling other people to this lifestyle as well. Obviously, we do that through Bible studies as we sit down and help people learn what it will mean for them to follow Jesus and to take up his easy yoke. And so again, this is who we are, right? Don't let these lessons just be notes in your journal or your phone, but really incorporate these three things into your walk with God. You know, for some of us, like we talked about before, it might be reordering your life in such a way so that these can be the priority, right? That these three things we've been talking about can come before school, before work, other relationships, right? That Jesus comes first. Because if we are focusing on these three things, we will grow both in our maturity as a ministry and in numbers. We'll see God add to our number. Amen. And so turn over to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start there in just a second. And we're going to see something really cool, kind of a pattern that we see in the Gospels. There's this really clear pattern we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus is doing something really intentional in his ministry that I think we really need to take note of. Again, he's a rabbi. Obviously, he's more than just a teacher. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. But his goal for his apprentices or his Talmudim is for them to become like him and to do what he did, That's his goal for his disciples. And so we see this kind of pattern. And again, we're going to read about this in a second. This is what Jesus is doing, guys, as we read the Gospels, right? First, what does he do? He comes on the scene to teach. He starts going around. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God, the best news planet Earth has ever heard, right? And he says that the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, and he's just proclaiming this. He's teaching this, right? This is what he was doing. And as he's doing that, he kind of moves on to phase two very quickly, right at the beginning of the gospel. And what does he start to do? He starts calling people to follow him, calling disciples or apprentices to apprentice under him, to learn from him, Peter, James, John, etc. And they start to be with Jesus. They start to literally walk by his side, their yoke to him. And they and them and their lifestyle naturally starts to change, right? They're reading the Torah with Jesus. They're praying together, practicing community, and they're all being transformed in the process. The disciples are growing, they're changing. And so Jesus, he invests in them relationally for years and teaches them his way, the way of Jesus. And then it all comes to this point at the end of the gospel where lastly, now they're sent out, right? He sends them out to do what he did. And so there comes this moment where Jesus says, hey, in my authority, I'm sending you out to do the very work that I'm doing. And he says, as we know, go and make disciples, right? Now you go and do what I did. You go and teach others. Have people follow after you and your example. Invest in others relationally. Continue the kingdom work. And so this is what we see here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Let's read here. So we're going to read verse 1 and then skip down. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 5, Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I love that last line there. All right, so we see here that this is a big moment. Jesus gives them specific instructions. And we see how he says here that he sent them out, right? And so he sends his disciples to go out and proclaim one message. And that message is the kingdom of God has come near. So he sends out the 12. And as he closes this kind of part here, he ends by saying, freely you have received, now freely give. Well, what does that mean? What this is talking about is Jesus, obviously, he's freely and generously given to his disciples, to his Talmudim. He's invested in them, taught them, he's loved them, poured himself out. And now he's saying, you go and freely give what I have given you. Pay it forward. Freely give to other people. And so for us on this Zoom call, for us as a ministry, Jesus is saying, go and freely give as I have freely given to you. And that we got to learn from Jesus here as we see him change us as people, as we see him help us grow, we must now freely give this same life-changing news to others as well. So to keep it simple, just like the 12 are sent out, Jesus is sending us out. That's what he wants to do, right? You and me. But what is he sending us out to do? It's simple, to do what he did, not to reinvent the wheel. Obviously, we live in a different time and different generation. We'll talk about that later. But we want to do what he did. We want to preach, we want to teach, and we want to bring healing. We want to bring the kingdom of God on earth through loving sinners, just like Jesus did. So We know that's what he did, right? That's a very, you know, nutshell version of what he did. But the question is, how do we get there? How do we get to the place where you and I are truly doing what Jesus did, doing this kingdom work, this life-changing work? What's that process kind of look like, right? Because we're not just going to wake up one day and automatically be doing what Jesus did, right? And so let's talk about kind of this process that we see to get there. And we've been touching on this a little bit. But social theorists say there are kind of four stages to apprenticeship or discipleship. And we just see this no matter what the case is or what people are trying to learn to do or apprenticing for. And this is kind of the process that we see Jesus do with his disciples. And this is something we see outside of Christianity as well. But this is what it is. It's I do, you watch. I do, you help. And then it becomes you do, and I help. And you do, and I watch, right? So Jesus, really, the beginning of his ministry is the disciples are just watching him do things, watching him change lives. But then the disciples start to help him in his ministry. Now it's he's doing and they're helping, right? But then it becomes they're the ones sent out and Jesus is helping them, right? And then really at the end, it all culminates to, hey, I'm leaving. Right, I'm going to die and resurrect. Now you do, and I'm just going to watch. I'm going to watch this unfold, right? This is apprenticeship to the master, to Jesus. This is the exact same pattern we see Jesus map out in the gospel, one person at a time, one disciple at a time as he trains them. And he knows that his intention in the long run is for him to watch them change the world. And that's his intention for you. That you start with watching Jesus, learning about him in the scriptures, but it ends with you doing what he did and nothing less. Amen. And so the end goal of discipleship to Jesus is to do what he did, not just to get really good at watching him or someone else do what he did, but you doing it, right? Because reality check, he's not here in the flesh anymore, right? But his spirit is here with us, empowering us and guiding us as we aim to do what he did. And so we got to learn from him and desire to do what he did as disciples of Jesus. You know, a simple example, this is like super simple, but think about just someone who wants to be a plumber, right? You know, you don't learn how to plumb a house in a day, right? That takes time. You know, a plumber is learning their craft over years, how to plumb a whole house, or an electrician, you know, that could be another example. They're learning how to wire. What do the wires do, right? And so if it takes about 4 years, you know, on average to become a plumber or something of that nature, it probably will take a little longer for you and I to do what Jesus did, right? It's probably a little bit, the bar is a little higher there. But it's this idea that, hey, you don't just start apprenticing under someone just to kind of like watch them for years, right? If you want to be a plumber, you're learning from him. You're learning from someone who's showing you that so that you can do the job, right? So that one day you can show up and you know, either electrically line a whole house or plumb a house, right? And so in the same way, for us as disciples, that's how we have to think about our Christianity, is that there's an end goal in mind, right? And so in short, if you're a disciple of Jesus, your goal over time is to be the kind of person who can carry on Jesus's work wherever you go, right? No matter what life stage you're in, whether you're single or married, no matter where you're living, that you can do what he did. Usher in the kingdom of God where you are. And so I hope that makes sense so far, but I got to be honest with this topic and talking about kind of being like Jesus, doing what he did. This is kind of the point where I usually lose about half of you in this kind of sermon, right? And really anyone who's preaching on this, right? Anytime we talk about doing exactly what Jesus did, mission work, changing the world, being like him, the thought can come to us, this thought of, well, yeah, Mark, I see where you're coming from, but Jesus was God, right? He's Jesus, and I'm not, right? And we can start to have this mindset of like, yeah, that's awesome, but I'm not Jesus or God, right? So we kind of start asking ourselves and whoever's preaching, like, hey, do you know who I am? Do you know my sin? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what my life is like right now, right? We start to get to this place where we are like, I don't know, can I really do what he did? And so I just want to remind all of us, though, that yes, we're human. We're not Jesus, obviously, but Jesus was fully human too, amen? Just like us, he lived a lifestyle that any one of us can live. Yes, he did miracles and he did, you know, obviously crazy, miraculous things, but he also did a lot of things that you and I can imitate, right? Something as simple as loving our neighbor, right, is something that we can do. And so what excuses do we make that stop us from doing what Jesus did, from doing the work that he did? So Hannah's going to talk a little bit about how these excuses can come about and how we can kind of work through them as we're just honest with ourselves. So go for it.
Yeah, I you know, just to transition, I think, you know, what Mark's talking about, like us being called to live a life of doing what Jesus did. All of us on this call, if we accepted this call and counted the cost and made the decision to become a disciple of Jesus, then we know that it was not like any calling. Like to give up our way of living and then to follow Jesus, it was like a really big decision for us. But Mark mentioned that we can start to make excuses. And I think that, you know, the number one excuse, if we think of it as an excuse, is what Mark said, that we just simply aren't Jesus. And so there's no way that we can do what he did. But I think that we have to remember that that's what we say. That's not what God says. Mm-hmm. And it definitely is what Satan wants us to believe. And what God says is that because we have the Holy Spirit, we will be able to do even greater things than Amen. Jesus did. And even beyond that, just in our day-to-day lives, I think that one of the most widely used excuses, or I don't know, I use the word excuse. I don't know. Maybe it's another word that I should be using, but we just don't have time to do the things that Jesus did, whether we're saying that or not. It definitely shows in our lives at many times. And for most of us, I don't believe it is a lack of time that we have. It really just ends up being a lack of time, or a lack of using our time the way Jesus would. And it's hard to know how to use our time, because as the months and the years go by, after being called by Jesus, we start to get calls from other things. Like all of us on this call have been called to something else in life. A lot of us, finally I'm done, but many of you guys are called to be students. You're college students. And I think that is obviously demanding a lot of time and attention, and it's not a bad thing. Honestly, I know a lot of people who decide to go to school for certain things. It's genuinely because we want to glorify God with our future careers. And, but I think when the demands of our majors and our professors start coming before what God wants from us, then it is like this time in our lives is dangerous when we start giving into like what our professors want us to spend all of our time doing, or what it seems like we have to do to succeed in our major, to decide how we spend our time, then this is a time in our life when that can just become a trend and what you do forever. And then with that calling, you can just start to put Jesus on hold. And so you're no longer answering that call. And, you know, being a student is one thing that we have to be aware of that we're being called to, which again, it's not a bad thing. Obviously we're a campus ministry, college students. But I think another thing that can start off innocent and genuinely good and productive part of life is when we get a job and it starts demanding, becoming more and more demanding. It's like, oh, like our manager wants us to take a few more hours. And it seems harmless, but then somehow over the course of a year, you're now working 10 hours more a week, that you don't even need, but you're, you know, trying to do what they're asking you to do. But now it's getting in the way of you being able to really do what Jesus is calling you to do in your day-to-day life. Just, you know, whether you need the money, or, you know, we've told ourselves we need the money or whatever we come to, it just like starts to demand more than what we originally wanted to. And so it's just this other calling that, we can start to let other people tell us how we should live and spend our time. And then when it comes time to answer God, it's like, oh man, I'm sorry. Like, I don't have time to do all that you're asking me to do. Yeah. And it just starts to get confusing. Like maybe we just, like none of us are immune. And I think we've talked about this in the other messages, like of being, of how we are being influenced. And we have to ask ourselves, are we more concerned about doing what Jesus did, or about what we think we should do or what others think we should do with our time?
Amen. Oh, thank you, Hannah. We hope this is, you know, I hope some of this is resonating with you as you're just thinking about how you spend your time. Because obviously we can't do what Jesus did if we don't carve out time in the week to do it, right? And so again, like we have to realize that yes, Jesus was God in the flesh, right? But maybe a way to think about it is when God became Jesus of Nazareth, in a way he kind of put aside the God card. And he said, hey, I'm going to tabernacle among you. I'm going to dwell with you. And I'm going to have all the human experiences and limitations in a lot of ways that you have, right? I'm going to live a human life. And of course, we know that he had power from God. But I think we need to remember that there's a reason why he came in that way. Jesus did what he did by the Spirit and by faith in God. Right? The early church did what they did in the book of Acts by the Spirit and by faith in God, right? And now today, you and I, we're called to do what we do by the Holy Spirit and by faith in God, right? We're all humans. We're all figuring this out, but it's the same power that we're tapping into. Amen. And so, you know, all of this in theory totally makes sense, right? Be with Jesus, become like him, do what he did. I mean, it sounds great. And you know, it's good to keep it simple. But the problem is that we live in a very complex and challenging cultural moment where doing what Jesus did, one, it's countercultural, but also, we can sometimes feel like, how do I do that without rubbing people the wrong way or coming off too religious or self-righteous, right? It can be complicated. So doing discipleship in 2022, doing what Jesus did in 2022 is obviously going to look a little different than even just 5-10 years ago, honestly. And so as we've talked about in past lessons, I think it's just important to note, guys, that this city is constantly changing. Culture is changing. People are changing. Opinions are changing, but Jesus is not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his work is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? We have distractions like we've talked about, social media, our phones, internet. COVID can be a huge hurdle for us. We're constantly stimulated and filled up with other things beside Christ. We're kind of in this hurry atmosphere of New York that's kind of go, 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 super busy city lifestyle. And if we're not careful, this kind of sucks us in and we forget to be people who live intentional lives doing the very things that Jesus did, right? Plus, in the past decade, we've moved from living in a Christian culture. This is not too long ago. It was more of a Christian culture to really now a post-Christian culture, right? Full of postmodern thought and ideas. Post-Christian culture is a reaction really against Christian culture. That's what we're experiencing on our campuses. That's what we're experiencing in the city. It's the feeling in the air, right? When we're sharing at a school like NYU in the Village or any school in the city, when we're sharing our faith, I don't know if you guys feel this, but there can be this awkwardness, this tension in just the moment you say Jesus or Bible, you can feel a reaction from people, right? Because we live in this culture that's almost reacting against Christianity or any kind of capital T truth, right? Now, we can't change that necessarily about the world and how things are going to evolve that way, right? But what we can decide is to learn what it will look like to do what Jesus did in this time, in this generation, right? Specifically for Gen Z. How do we reach this generation? How do we do what he did, right? And the way to think about this is that our ministry, AONYC, our campus region, is somewhat like a living laboratory where we're trying things out, guys. We're learning every semester, every month, and we're seeking to find how to reach this younger generation, how to reach young people in the polluted soil that is New York City. But we have to be committed to learning this, right? We have to be committed to figuring out how do we do what Jesus did here and now. And the question for you is, are you going to be a part of it? Are you going to commit yourself to this? Is this going to be part of your college experience, or will Satan distract you from making an impact? You might be asking, hey, what's my role in this, right? How do I do what Jesus did? What's my role? How do I not let this culture and society stop me? Well, I think there's a question here that can help us out. You guys have heard this before, right? WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? It's been around, kind of got going in the 90s. Some of you might have a wristband, right, that says WWJD. That's awesome. But the problem with this question can sometimes be, to keep it simple, is that Jesus was a first century Jewish itinerant male rabbi, right? And last time I checked, that's not necessarily who any of us are, right? So yes, it's a great question. There's so much truth to it. It's helped me. It's helped so many people. But a better question would be to ask, what would Jesus do if he were me, right? What would Jesus do if he were me, if he had your life stage, if he went to your school? If he had your upbringing, your job, your gender, your place of living, the friendships you have, right? You know, this question takes a little bit more creativity, but it's going to help you pinpoint the actions to take in your life, right? And so we got to answer this question, right? What would Jesus do if he were you? So Hannah's going to share a little bit about this and kind of help break down, okay, like, how can we figure this out personally for ourselves? We want to do the work that he did, but what is that going to look like? So go for it.
Yeah. So, you know, just to Brittany.
Love it, Brittany. Don't put that on a bracelet. People just be like, what's going on?
That's kind of cool. Okay. So the two greatest commandments, right, are to love God and to love our neighbor as yourself. And Jesus literally meant to love the person next to you in your neighborhood, at your school. And this is like front and center of Jesus's ministry. Like, this is just what we see him do. It's what it's a command that we've been given, the greatest commandment, and the one that's like it. And so I think a question we have to ask ourselves is like, okay, how's it going loving your neighbor, loving God and loving the people that God has put in your path? And this is so different for everyone. I think that one consistent thing is for all of us is that we live in a massive city. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this really overwhelms me. We don't live in a tiny village where we have 10 neighbors. And sometimes I can feel like I have a million neighbors. And I think that that really is a place where we just have to start and pray and ask God to make it clear who he wants us to spend our time pouring into. I think that that's when we're thinking like, what would Jesus do if he were me? Okay, like he would think about who his neighbors are, but he would ask God to like make that clear and how he should spend his time. And you know, Mark was talking about this, but Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we see this in his life when he was eating and drinking with sinners, had relationships with them, calling others to follow him. And he gives us such an amazing and admirable example of someone who let no cultural or situational barriers stop him from doing these two things.
Right.
And it's important for us to be able to see the scriptures and the things that Jesus did and to be amazed by it all. But in order to do what he did, we have to not just think broadly and for anyone, but for you personally to answer that question that Mark brought up, like, what would Jesus do if he were me? And so as young people in New York City, I just wanted to talk through just a few things that I was thinking about, just basic things that practically we can start implementing for what Jesus would do if he were you. And so first thing that I think all of us can do is meet people.
Amen.
Like Jesus, like say hello. Jesus was known, obviously, but in order to meet people, you have to say hello to the people in your class, the people on the train next to you, walking near you as you walk home. People at your school and in your community have to know you if they're going to know Jesus. Amen. And know what you're trying to share with them, right. His love. And I think that the next thing that we can all do is invite them into our life. Obviously, like, you know, this is going to look different for everyone. And so you have to think more about that on your own term of like, what does this look like for me? But we do have to invite people into our lives. And Jesus did this frequently. He shared meals with people who were far from God. And that is something that we have to figure out how we can do in our own life. Mm-hmm. And if this is something that you feel like you're not able to do because of your circumstances, then I think it circles back to the first thing that I was talking about with the excuses that we make or the barriers that we put up because of the callings that we are answering before the call of following Jesus. And so these just like basic things of meeting people and inviting them into our lives, I think is just very basic in what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so, yeah, I just think it's encouraging that when we start meeting people, spending time with them, inviting them into our lives, then we have ample time to show them Jesus's love, and Jesus's love changes people's hearts. And so we want people to become Christians, but we have to show them his love and be able to get into the scriptures with them. Some people are going to be immediately interested in sitting down and looking at scriptures together, and other people might just need love and friendship before they really feel ready for something like that. But something that we can always do is give the invitation to someone to sit down and grow in their relationship with God. So,
amen. Amen. Yeah, I think sometimes we overcomplicate it, right? But Jesus, he was a people person, right? He met people. He loved them. He built relationships, and through that relationship, he wanted to show them God. And he was very intentional about that, right? And so I think for us, just to keep it super simple, if you want to do what Jesus did, I think for us as a campus ministry, that's going to mean learning how to study the Bible with other people. Obviously, the first step is what Hannah said. You got to meet them. You got to invite them out, or, you know, get coffee somewhere. But we got to learn how to be disciple makers. We got to be able to learn how to study the Bible with people. Jesus was a teacher, and we should be too, right? You know, we want to be people who serve the poor, people who are meeting needs, right? People that are intentional about being involved in our community, right? We want to serve our city, which we've been talking about. And discipleship really is this beautiful interruption to our daily life, right? That's what it is. And it should be a healthy, good interruption, interrupting really our life of sin to give us something better. But will you, right, this semester, this week, will you let Jesus and his work, kingdom work, will you let that interrupt your life? Right? Your things that don't matter as much, right? Will you let Jesus and walking by the Spirit be the focus of your life? As we come in for a landing here, no matter where you're at, all of us can follow Jesus. All of us can be with him, become like him, and do what he did, right? This is something that we can all practice, and that Jesus has clearly shown us in the scriptures what it means to follow him. And so, again, we really pray for you guys that this series has been helpful. You know, we pray that it's been pointing you towards a deeper relationship with Jesus. And again, we're really laying a foundation for the future of this ministry, the future for each of our individual discipleship to Christ. And remember, guys, we're all works in progress, right? We're on this lifelong journey to learn what it means to practice the way of Jesus in missional community, to be disciples in community. We're going to make mistakes, plenty of them, right? But we're also going to experience many victories together. Amen. We're going to experience times of repentance together, times of refreshing. And we're going to see God add to our number as we really focus on being people who carry on his work. And it's all because we decided to obey these words that Jesus spoke over thousands of years ago. It's all because we decided to do this. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. So we hope this was encouraging for you guys. What we're going to do now is just throw up a discussion question here. In a second, Rob's going to split us into men and women split, just breakout rooms to have a time of discussion, to talk about what we've gotten out of these past 3 weeks, but specifically to this question right here, which is, what's one thing you think that Jesus would do or would be doing if he were you, right? And so we want to talk about that in these discussion groups and obviously in your D group with your disciples this week. But we love you guys. Again, thank you for really digging into the scriptures with us and going through the series. And we're excited to keep growing together.